What's up, Eagle Country? Happy Monday to you, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries, accepting walk-ins, or you can go online to schedule your next appointment at OrthoSensi.com. That's OrthoSensi.com. I am your host, Double T, Travis there. Glad to be back in the saddle again on this Monday evening after taking last Monday off due to the 4th of July holiday, and there is plenty to get to unload over the next 30 minutes or so, kind of catching ourselves up on the past 2 weeks in hometown sports. And we are inching ever so closely to the fall sports season as the high school sports season is right around the corner. 6 Fridays from now, we'll be out in St. Leon for the kickoff of the high school football season. We're going to talk more about our high school football broadcast schedule as we go along this evening. Also going to talk baseball and softball. All state teams were recently announced. We got some individuals from the area we want to recognize. The Lawrenceburg High School Athletic Hall of Fame class of 2022 is going to feature 8 inductees. Want to run through those inductees. We're going to talk a little bit of volleyball. There's a young lady that starred at East Central High School that is going to be coaching at the D1 level. Want to talk a little road racing with the Southeastern Indiana Racing Circuit going on. The second race happening over the weekend in St. Leon. You have the Whiskey City Challenge bicycle races coming to downtown Lawrenceburg on Saturday, and plenty more to get to on the show. So let's jump right in. And I want to start with baseball and softball, because when anybody makes an all-state team around here, that is a pretty big deal. It's a big deal anywhere, but that's a good place to start. Now, we'll start on the baseball side of things, as fairly recently, the Indiana High School Baseball Coaches Association released their 2022 all-state team. And we got to start with Rising Sun Junior Peyton Merica, who was named to the Class 1A All-State team as a pitcher. Phenomenal season for America. Went 7-2, 0.61 ERA, struck out 102 batters, only had 18 walks, and only gave up 6 earned runs, pitching 69 1/3 innings throughout this past season. So absolutely getting it done. Although he was recognized as a pitcher, Peyton Merica also very accomplished at the plate. Hit .382 over 98 plate appearances this past season for the Shiners. And did I mention he's a junior? So he's going to be terrorizing hitters all of next year, as well as a senior leader on that Rising Sun team. A couple others that we wanted to mention that received honorable mention from the IHS BCA, EIAC co-MVP Braden Rouse, who's just a sophomore this past year, Class 4A honorable mention, hit .521, 5 homers, 26 ribbies, and 27 runs scored. And fellow EIAC all-conference selection Drew Lanning was a Class 3A honorable mention. He went 3-4 on the mound with a 0.78 ERA, 114 strikeouts over 53 1/3 innings pitched. Recently pitched in the Indiana All-Star game, North-South game, 3 scoreless innings there, going to go to Hanover College to continue his baseball career as well. So congratulations to those 3 young men for earning All-State honors, and a little extra recognition for Peyton Merica being on the Class 1A All-State team. We can talk about his classmate a little bit as well. Rising Sun sophomore Nora Powell and South Ripley senior Maddie Tompkins, they were named to the 1A, 2A All-State team on the softball side of things. And these 2 young ladies were among the best in a lot of different statistical categories in the ORVC over this past season. I want to start with Nora Powell, who was a .526 hitter. That was 3rd in the conference. She was also 3rd in ribbies at 27. She had 3 homers. That's in the top 5 in the conference. .540 on base, that was 9th. Her .910 slugging percentage was 2nd in the ORVC, leading in stolen bases with 19. She scored 33 runs, which was 3rd, and had a good fielding percentage as well, finishing 13th in the conference. If you look over at Maddie Tompkins' statistics, she was 2nd in batting average at .544. Again, this is in the ORVC. 21 RBIs, that was 9th. .592 on base, good for 3rd. She was 11th in slugging at .588. And then in the pitching circle, a .118 ERA, 2nd in the conference. She had the most strikeouts with 166, tied for the most wins in the ORVC with 12, and her fielding percentage was 11th. So these 2 young ladies absolutely getting it done all over the diamond this past season. And goes to show you why they were on the All-State team. As for Maddie Tompkins, she was also selected to the Academic All-State team, and these awards are coming from the Softball Coaches Association of Indiana. She was joined by a host of other young ladies on that Academic All-State team. Ann Becker from Franklin County, Andrea Cullen from Jacksonville, Emily Campbell, her teammate at South Ripley, and then Josie Bell and Cora Poling, both from Rising Sun, on that Academic All-State team. Some of the honorable mention All-State Academic team, Jacksonville's Toby Benefield and Rising Sun's Ella Eldridge. And then we also wanted to shout out Franklin County, who was recognized with the Team Academic All-State honors, combining for a GPA of 3.88 during the softball season. So awesome job there from all of those young ladies. Now, speaking of baseball, well, I know we just talked about softball, but baseball was right before that. There is going to be some new rule changes that are going into effect starting with the 2023 season. The National Federation of State High School Associations announcing these changes actually today, and the big one that they kind of headlined was the vote to remove the prohibition on wearing jewelry for high school baseball players and coaches. So previously, they had allowed for medical and religious medals to be worn by rule, but now moving forward, most jewelry is going to be permitted. There is obviously still a note in the rule book that says jewelry that is posing a harm or injury to a player or opponent, that's going to need to be removed. But just your everyday kind of, you know, necklaces and wristbands, things of that nature, those things are going to be allowed on the baseball diamond moving forward. And the NFHS Director of Sports, Elliot Hopkins, basically said this, and I quote, "The game of baseball has evolved, and players have demonstrated that wearing a bracelet or a necklace does not impede their ability to play or increase any risk to themselves or their opponents," close quote. So there you have it from the horse's mouth why this rule has been changed by the Baseball Rules Committee with the National Federation of State High School Associations. So you're going to see this popping up throughout the country in the game of baseball at the high school level. They also did approve rules regarding a lodged ball, pitcher pivot foot, and catcher eye shields. And I'm not going to take the time to go through all of those rules right now because we have plenty of other things to get to, but we do have that information for you at EagleCountryOnline.com. So that's going to finish up our baseball and softball talk for this edition of Crunch Time, which is again presented by Ortho Cincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, OrthoCincy.com. Going to get to the Lawrenceburg High School Athletic Hall of Fame induction class of 2022 here in just a moment, but I want to talk some football. So we're going to get into our high school football broadcast schedule. You can see this over at EagleCountryOnline.com as well, and we've already told you, and it's no surprise really, we're going to be out in St. Leon on Friday, August 19th as the Trojans welcome in the Lawrenceburg Tigers to kick off the high school football season. That will be a 7:30 kickoff. All of our pregame coverage will start 20 minutes prior to kickoff, so we'll hit the air at 7:10 from St. Leon on August 19th, and this is a game that is always intriguing at the top of our broadcast schedule. You got two Dearborn County rivals. These two teams have been very, very good here in recent memory in their respective classes, going on to win some sectional titles and moving through the state tournament, but it's been one of those series where Lawrenceburg's still trying to get over the hump. It seems like we talk about this each and every year. 34-6 win for East Central a year ago. Lawrenceburg last defeated East Central in 1992, so the Trojans have won 25 in a row in this series. And actually, if you go back to 1992, Lawrenceburg led the all-time series at that point 15-5, and now all of a sudden it is 30-15. But if the Tigers can win this game, and whenever they do win their first game of the season, it will be the 100th win for head coach Ryan Kniga, who's entering his 12th year at Lawrenceburg High School. Really looking forward to seeing this East Central offense play this year. They've returned all of their top skill players, including junior quarterback Cole Burton. He'll have Josh Ringer at his side or behind him, depending on how they line up at running back. Very, very talented kid that missed a lot of time last year with an ankle injury, but certainly going to give this team a boost, as you saw in the postseason a little bit last year as he worked back from that injury. And then at wide receiver, you have the electric Eli Aston and Ryan Brotherton, who have game-breaking speed. The offensive line going to be anchored by Noah Schreck Snyder. So this is going to be a high-powered offense, and this is maybe a year where East Central is going to lean more on their offense than defense. They've always, in my mind, been more of a run-the-ball defensive-type team. But I think things, based on personnel, have changed a little bit. It's going to be a little bit more high-powered offense, being able to open things up, get the ball down the field with Burton, throw into those two receivers and more that I mentioned, and then Ringer certainly has that ability to give them the old school look where they just kind of pound the ball, get the 4 or 5 yards at a time, move the chains, and let their defense do the work as well. But they're going to have a little bit of an overhaul going on defense, particularly in the secondary with all those kids graduating. But as we've come to know, East Central always reloads. As for this Tigers team, they're going to look a little different this year after graduating a sensational senior class. Garrett Yoon, Dia Patel, Ashton Craig, the list goes on and on. Those kids are gone, moving on to play some college football. So now they have some new fresh faces that are going to have a chance to star for this team. It looks like Logan Ahouse has the inside track to be the new signal caller. He does have a big arm, and he's got some swagger back there as well. Going to have the likes of Tegan Bennett, Braden Combs, Hayden Saylor, Jake Pierce, Brennan Bushman, among others, as skill players around him. So it's going to be intriguing watching the Tigers play this year with some new names stepping into those starring roles. They're also going to feature what I think might be the top linebacking core in the area. Nico Ferreira, Noah Kaniga, Alex Woody, and Jake Pierce, all four are back and looking to get after the quarterback and, of course, be there in run support as well. So always an intriguing matchup. Week one, Lawrenceburg at East Central. Looking forward to week two, August 26th, the Trojans going to travel cross state lines for the Battle of I-74 at Harrison. This will be the first matchup Harrison has hosted since 2018, and the only reason I make that note is because the last two times that these two teams have played, it's been in St. Leon, and that is due to the game being canceled in 2020 due to COVID-19. So the Wildcats will be happy to have home field advantage again in this series. I think they thought they might have, should have had it last year based on not having it the year before, but that's not how it played out. So Wildcats will be the home team this year. And they're also going to be looking to get off the schneid in this series, as the Trojans have won the last three meetings. It was 42-0 last year, played a close game 10-7 in 2019, and another blowout in 2018. But Harrison does still lead the all-time series 23-20-1. There's a 0-0 tie back in 1982, which some of you may remember. I was not even born yet, so but still an interesting stat. September 2nd, week three of the season. We're going to leave it up to you, the fans, to determine where we go for this particular week, because I was intrigued by the Milan at Lawrenceburg matchup and South Dearborn at Batesville. So we're leaving that up to the fans. The voting will end the day before the East Central Harrison game so that we can obviously be promoting our week three game during that broadcast. So you'll have until August 25th to get your vote in, whether you want us to broadcast Milan at Lawrenceburg or South Dearborn at Batesville, and you can do that now by going over to the high school sports broadcast schedule under the sports tab at EagleCountryOnline.com. So anyway, you slice it, we're going to have a Ripley County versus Dearborn County matchup there in week three. Moving to week four, September 9th, Lawrenceburg will host Greensburg in a big EIAC 3A division game. And kind of going back to our philosophy, building the schedule for the broadcast season, we certainly want to get meaningful games on the schedule. We want to get rivalry games on there, and we want to make sure that we're spreading the wealth and covering East Central, South Dearborn, Lawrenceburg, and Milan as equally as we possibly can. So that's what we keep in mind when we're putting together this schedule. But Greensburg and Lawrenceburg is going to be a big 3A division game. Lawrenceburg's won four in a row, including that 15-7 win in the sectional semifinals a year ago. Some of you will remember this very, very vividly because you sat out in a torrential downpour for that entire game up at Greensburg on the natural grass. Got a little sloppy out there, and the Tigers were able to win it in the end. But five games have been decided by a touchdown or less in this series since 2015, so there have been a lot of games in recent memory between these two teams that have been very, very good and make it a meaningful conference game as well. That's a good one to get on the schedule. September 16th, our first look at Milan's new multi-purpose turf field will be when they host New Miami out of Ohio. This is a week that's going to feature crossover games in the EIAC with no significant 3A or 4A conference games happening, so this is a good week to get out to Milan and see see how the Indians are performing, and of course, see their beautiful new field, which is in the process of being built. Should be all set to go by the start of the year, and hoping for some more continued good weather so the construction crew can get that done in a timely fashion. But really awesome to see Milan getting the upgrade in facilities. I think that's going to be great for the kids out there and for the program all around. Batesville also adding a turf field to the mix this year, so almost every team that we cover in this area has a turf field at this point. There's still some that don't, like Greensburg, Franklin County, a couple more of the EIAC teams, but it's becoming more commonplace nowadays, and I think that's a good thing for the student athletes. Looking at September 23rd, a big EIAC 4A division game where Dearborn County rivals will clash. East Central will travel to Aurora to take on South Dearborn. Now, South Dearborn has moved to 3A in football. They're still going to compete in the 4A side of the division as it's still split between those eight teams. Franklin County also plays at 3A, but it's in the 4A division. So to me, it appears maybe it's time to break up the EIAC divisions or at the very least realign them. That's as far as I want to take that talk right now, but it's a certainly worth thinking about maybe a little bit later on down the road. But similar to Lawrenceburg, South Dearborn hasn't scored a win over East Central since the 90s. They defeated the Trojans 41-19 back in 1997. After that, 29 straight wins for East Central, including postseason play. We talked a little bit about East Central and some of the exciting players coming back for them. I'll do the same for South Dearborn here. They got junior quarterback Adam Kunkel, who broke onto the scene as a sophomore last year. Senior safety Ryan Willoughby, a very, very good player. They got senior receiver Austin Ballard, who is a standout from last year. A couple of really good linebackers in Braden Johnson and Ashton Kittle, and then senior wide receiver and defensive back Corbin Cassidy among the top players returning for this South Dearborn team. And we're going to see them back-to-back weeks. We're going to see South Dearborn a bunch on the back end of our broadcast schedule as they're going to play at Franklin County on September 30th. So back-to-back 4A division games, a very important stretch for South Dearborn. And this is also a matchup that we could see in the sectional as well. So it's important to kind of get a gauge on how you are playing against those sectional teams. And it obviously wouldn't be Farmers Fair weekend if we didn't call the South Dearborn game. Me personally, I'm going to be likely broadcasting from the Farmers Fair as I have the past several years, and it's always easier and nicer to just shoot from the Farmers Fair up the hill to South Dearborn High School, but I'll make the trek out to Franklin County on September 30th for that EIAC contest. And then our final two games of the regular season, October 7th, East Central is going to welcome in Guerin Catholic. Now, East Central, we've seen them do this plenty over the past several years. They've backloaded their schedule with some tough games to get them ready for sectional play. Guerin Catholic will be that second-to-last game. Then they will play Ron Colley, but that is a great non-conference matchup to go out and see how the Trojans are doing as they get ready for postseason play. And then we'd love to call the game East Central versus Ron Colley. That would be a really great one, but October 14th, Lawrenceburg at South Dearborn, a huge rivalry game to end the season, and this could be the very last time we see Lawrenceburg and South Dearborn play to end the regular season. Now that South Dearborn has moved to Class 3A, it certainly makes sense for both of these schools to shake up their schedules moving forward to try and avoid having to play back-to-back weeks with the potential to be matched up in the sectional. I've certainly talked about that previously, but Lawrenceburg has won the last three matchups. South Dearborn has some memorable, dramatic wins in 2018 and 2014, and of course, it is always, always fun when these two teams get together, and South Dearborn will be the host of the regular season finale. We're certainly going to learn more about these area high school football teams in the coming weeks on this very show, as we have some guests scheduled. We're going to welcome in the Milan Indians next Monday, July 18th. Ryan Langferman and some of his key players are going to come out and tell us a little bit about the Milan Indians. I can tell you that they have a lot of kids returning from last year, so I think their expectations are going to be a little bit higher. Remember, they're still playing as an independent, so the regular season games, I don't want to say that they don't matter as much. They want to go out and win every single one of those games, but they are in a situation where they can use every one of those regular season games to simply get themselves ready for the sectional. They want to be battle-tested once they get there, and they will be. They're going to run that EIAC NAIAC 3A gauntlet at the top of their schedule as well. So looking forward to catching up with the Indians the following Monday, July 25th. Jake Miners and some of his players will come down and talk East Central football. We have Lawrenceburg lined up for August 15th, which will be the Monday leading in to the first regular season game against East Central on August 19th. And then we are still working to lock down a date with the South Dearborn Knights, but certainly expect Coach Ram Ballard and his kids to come through and talk about South Dearborn football. One other note in football before we move on. In the Indiana Football Coaches Association, North vs. South All-Star Game is going to take place this Friday. Lawrenceburg quarterback Garrett Yoon and receiver Daya Patel going to team up with South Dearborn running back C.J. Rogers and East Central offensive lineman Casey McQueen on the South roster as these young men get a chance to play one more high school game, we'll call it, before they go off to play some college ball. That's going to be Friday at Ben Davis High School in Indianapolis, 7 p.m. kickoff. Can get tickets at the gate for $10 if you're an adult and $5 for students. They do have more ticket information at ifca.net, and we can get you linked up over at EagleCountryOnline.com. You are listening to Crunch Time, presented by Ortho Cincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Dr. Ron Auer, Dr. Brian Whistle, and Dr. Roman Trimba, located right here in Lawrenceburg, so it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need close to home. OrthoCincy.com. All right, let's get to the Lawrenceburg High School Hall of Fame class of 2022. There's going to be 8 inductees. They're going to be honored and a public ceremony Saturday, October 1st in the Lawrenceburg High School Auditorium. That'll be a 7:30 start time. All Tiger fans, welcome to attend. You have Jerry Bow, Glenn Crocker, Chris Dyer, Denver Kennett, Bob Meyer, Joanne Morrison, Leo Seitz, and Brian Way, who are going to be among the 8 inducted into the Hall of Fame class of 2022. And this was a Hall of Fame that was created during the 2018-2019 school year, so still very, very new and in its infancy. So some of these names, no surprise to see on the list and making it into the Hall of Fame. That we have bios for each and every one of these individuals over at EagleCountryOnline.com. And considering I don't have all the time in the world to talk about everything I want to talk about, it's going to behoove you to just go to our website and learn a little bit more about some of these individuals that created lasting legacies at Lawrenceburg, whether they were as a player, a coach, or a contributor to the school. So you can certainly do that on our website. And looking forward to seeing a big crowd out there Sunday, October 1st at Lawrenceburg High School for the induction ceremony. Couple other things wanted to get to on the show. How about the Trojan Trot 5K as the Southeastern Indiana Racing Circuit continues to go on throughout the summer? There's going to be 6 races in total, and the proceeds from the event's going to benefit the host school's cross country program. So, week 2, St. Leon, East Central, the host, and it was a 15-year-old from Batesville that was the winner of the Trojan Trot 5K on Saturday. Goes by the name of Jake Chapman. His time was 17 minutes 41 seconds as he crossed the finish line, just seconds ahead of Aiden Potts out of Dillsboro, who runs at Milan High School, and then Cole Benegas, a 17-year-old from Lawrenceburg, finishing in third. This was an event that was dominated by teenagers. 9 of the top 10 finishers were ages 14 to 18, and then we do want to mention the top female finisher in this Trojan Trot 5K. That was Emma Hartley, 17 from Lawrenceburg. She was 10th in this race and the top placing female. And the third Circ race coming up this Saturday, July 16th. It is the Night Flight 5K in Aurora. You can register for the event on the Stewart Road Racing website, and we have the link for you at EagleCountryOnline.com. Kind of jumping around and hitting on a bunch of topics here as we get down to the end of this show. We want to say congratulations to a former East Central High School volleyball star who's going to be coaching at the D1 level. That is Josie Andres, who was announced last week as an assistant coach at Navy. Now, she played collegiately at both Mount St. Joseph University and Ohio Northern, graduating from Ohio Northern in 2019, and then she would go on to complete her MBA at Otterbein, and that's where she's got her coaching career started. And they have done really, really well at the D3 level over the past couple of years, but she has worked her way up and has accepted a position as an assistant volleyball coach at Navy. So pretty cool stuff there. We got more on that story, again, at our website, EagleCountryOnline.com. And how about the Whiskey City Challenge? If you are into bicycle racing, you'll be able to enjoy that this Saturday in downtown Lawrenceburg. 15 high-speed professional cycling races. We'll highlight the annual Whiskey City Challenge, as the 2022 Indiana State Criterium Championship will feature men, women, and junior races throughout the day Saturday. They're going to start up at 1 o'clock. Start-finish line will be here on West High Street, pretty close to the Eagle's Nest. And they're going to be having these races rain or shine, so you don't need to ask that question. The final race of the day take place under the lights around 9 o'clock. They'll also have the celebrity tricycle race, which is usually pretty funny to watch, the skateboard jump jam, and a cornhole tournament that is free to register. And you could go home with a cash prize in hand if you're good at throwing bags. So you should certainly come down and check out the Whiskey City Challenge on Saturday. First race at 1, last race at 9 p.m. A full day of fun here in downtown Lawrenceburg. Couple of quick notes to end the show. Reds starting pitcher Luis Castillo selected to the All-Star game, as he'll compete as a part of the National League All-Stars, his second All-Star appearance. He has been fantastic since coming off the injured list. He got a little late start to the season, but has been absolutely awesome. He may only have a couple more starts as a Red in him, as he's going to be a hot topic as the trade deadline gets a little bit closer. A lot of teams would love his services. A lot of teams that are pushing for the playoffs would love his services. And the Reds could stand to get some really nice prospects in exchange for Luis Castillo. I personally would like to see them extend his contract, because I think he's got many more great years ahead of him, and compare with improved Nick Lodolo and Hunter Green in years in the future for a formidable pitching rotation. Ashcraft's been fantastic for the Reds as well as a rookie, but doesn't seem like that's in the cards. It's probably wishful thinking to see Luis Castillo sticking around long-term, especially the way this organization has handled paying players, keeping players, things of that nature. So glad to see Luis Castillo as the guy representing the Reds at the All-Star game, but that might be the last time he represents the Cincinnati Reds. Who knows? He might even be wearing a new jersey before the All-Star game gets here. Real quick on this, Cincinnati Bengal greats Ken Anderson, Ken Riley are up for the Hall of Fame 2023, as they are amongst four semifinalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame's class of 2023 in seniors coach contributors categories. They're going to whittle that list down to 12 finalists. I think July 27th was the date I saw, and then August 12th, three of those 12 semifinalists will be named to the Hall of Fame. Of course, the Bengals only have one Hall of Famer currently, that being Anthony Munoz, so certainly rooting for Ken Anderson and Ken Riley, any one of those two or both, to put a little bit more respect on the Cincinnati Bengals organization. And finally, FC Cincinnati, they are certainly humming in the MLS after three straight seasons as being the dead last finisher in the MLS. Cincinnati is certainly in the mix of things in the Eastern Conference, standing in seventh place after the weekend. And if the season did end today, they would be a playoff team, as each conference gets seven teams in the playoffs. They just went through a five-match stretch where they played five teams that are in a playoff standing in the Eastern Conference, and they went unbeaten over those five games. They drew four times with one win coming against Orlando City, and I'm going to tell you right now, they could have won all five of those matches. I was at, I believe, three of them. The two draws against the New York teams, two of the worst officiated games I've ever seen in my entire life, but nonetheless, this FC Cincinnati team battles. They are fun to watch. They have excellent players, excellent coaching now, good front office. Everything is starting to come together for this team. A beautiful stadium on the west side of Cincinnati. If you have not been to a game at TQL Stadium to see this team play, now's the time to get tickets, because they are in a playoff push, and like I said, very, very entertaining to watch, and a great atmosphere as always. So that's going to do it for this evening's show. I know we jammed a lot of information in there for you, but there was a lot to get to after taking last week off for the 4th of July holiday. And things going to get very busy the next few weeks here on this show as we're going to start welcoming in those high school football teams to preview the 2022 season. We're going to get to some other fall sports and teams as well, so stay tuned for that. But the Milan Indians are up next. Coach Ryan Langferman and some of his key players going to join the show next Monday, 6 to 6:30, as always, and presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries, OrthoCincy.com. Thank you so much for listening. This is Crunch Time on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3, and at EagleCountryOnline.com.